Amen. So we've got to pause on Ecclesiastes again. So we'll get back to one month. So you'll hang in there with it. But this morning, the Lord's put this on my heart. So we'll be in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And as you're probably aware of already, the theme of Vacation Bible School is rescued, right? Being rescued. So let's talk about that this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And there he has it on the wall. And let's read. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Everybody say amen. Amen. So let me share a little story with you, so hang on. When I was a young Marine, I got lost two times in my short military career. And one time, I think I shared with the men on a men's night or something. But I got lost one time in the jungle in the Philippines, which turned out kind of like a funny story. And I won't tell you the whole story, but before you go, you know, like a 30-day jungle training, and they would tell you and warn you about every little small little creature that if you step on or look at wrong or eat it or anything, it would just kill you in two steps. So we're already freaked out about that. And then they would tell you about all these big creatures that would just eat you, you know. And so we were kind of worried and concerned about that. And thinking, I was a teenager, basically. I was 18 years old, you know, a private. And so my sergeant comes to me, and it's pitch black dark, like 12, 1 o'clock, you know, at night, dark, can't see your hands in front of your face. And he says, Private Bennett, come here. I'm over there. He gives me this folded up piece of paper, and he says, go that way for about 100 yards. And there's like light discipline, you know, you can't have a light, can't make noise. He said, go that way about 100 yards, second platoon's over there. Go give the lieutenant this note. I'm like, okay, yes, Sergeant. Take the note, take off. I'm going through the jungles, right? And I find him, and I give the lieutenant the note. I turn around, I'm coming back the next way. It's only 100 yards, right? I'm coming back the next way. 20 minutes later, I realize I'm lost, and I'm by myself, and I have blanks in my weapon, because it's a training exercise, you know. And all of a sudden, when this thing came over, this fear that I'm actually lost in the jungles, I start yelling. I start panicking, because I know that it's not real, you know, it's training. So I start yelling, hey, hey, and all of a sudden, this noise starts coming at me in the jungles, right? Just just this noise is coming through the bushes. I'm like, oh God, all I could imagine was what was that crazy books we read as kids? Well, I wrote it down. Where the Wild Things Are. Remember that? I just imagine one of those big giant creatures coming there that's going to eat me right there. And all of a sudden, out of the woods comes this sergeant. He just clotheslines me. Blah! He gets up, and he's an old sergeant. One of my old crusty sergeants was right out of Vietnam, right? Got busted several times for drinking and everything else, you know. And anyway, he's right up from Vietnam. He started yelling at me about gooks in the wire. And sorry, I know it's kind of racial, but, you know, Charlie. And he's, Ryan, you can't do this. You can't yell. And he winds up making me do like 1,000 push-ups right there in the jungles, you know. And finally, they rescued me from him. And for a long time, they nicknamed me Batman because of my stealth in the woods, you know. And I was scared, man. Anyway, so that turned out to be a really funny story. But I got another quick story. I'll tell you that it was not so funny that I got lost. It was about a year later, and our platoon got selected to go to a cold weather survival training with the Navy SEALs. And so we go off with them. It was a joint effort. We went, and they dropped us off by helicopter on top of this mountain in Washington State. It's actually called Mount Baker. Huge. And they dropped us off for 2 weeks. We had to survive in the snow, and I could tell you crazy stories about that. But anyway, about 3 days into it, our little team that we had, we got lost on this mountain. And it's like on TV. There's some snow, and it's cold, it's freezing. And we just got the basic necessities. We couldn't have any extra equipment. And so we get lost. We had an arrogant, very prideful lieutenant that would not listen to the old sergeant who had been there several times, you know, and just wouldn't listen. So we wound up getting lost for about a day and a half. And one of my friends, he was a Lance Corporal, his name was Boast. He's a really funny guy, big, tall, black guy. And we were good friends. He fell down in the snow and started in the process of the hypothermia. And it got really bad. And then the sergeant basically took over and ignored the lieutenant and radioed in that we had a serious situation here. And so the Navy SEALs came in, they helicopter, they jumped out what's called fast roping down, you know, and provided care. And I never forget this. It kind of changed me because they had this couple of Navy SEALs turned down and they had this blanket-looking sleeping bag thing. And they whipped it out, you know, and the sergeant volunteered. He knew what was going on. So they stripped my buddy down all the way to his underwear, stuck him in his bag, and the sergeant took, we're talking cold weather, and the sergeant took off all his clothes down to his underwear, sorry, like, you know, I'm just being honest, and got into this bag with them and huddled up with them, and they zipped this bag up. And then they started dragging this thing to little coordinates, somewhere about 100, 200 yards away. And then the truck come up and they got him. I'm just standing there watching this as this white, you know, sergeant crawled in this sleeping bag thing with this black man. I remember I grew up in the 60s, right, in the 70s. And I just thought, wow, there's not a racial bone, not a racial thing right here at all. I mean, this is one man saving another man. And in the Marine Corps, when I was in, there was no black or white. Remember that? He's all green. We were all green. He's either light green or dark green. But we were all green. But I tell you, that story changed me about the whole racism thing and that kind of thing. So, you know, if that shoe fits, you know, let's wear it. But that was a very scary time for me during my little short time in the Marine Corps. My friend could not help himself. We could not help him. He almost died. It took a rescue to save him. Paul tells us of another rescue, a rescue that all believers have gone through, which all of us desperately needed in our lives to be rescued. So let's look at it again. Verse 1 through 3, and let's read it again, says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and under the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We'll pause right here for just a minute. For those of you who have family members who are struggling with the sins of the world, and we all know what that means, I'm telling you, the Bible says that our prayers are powerful and effective. The prayer, right, of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. And we don't battle against principalities of the air, right? Against flesh, we battle against principalities of the air and those unseen forces. And if you've got family members, this scripture, you write this down. Those scriptures right here, you begin to pray because, see, that loved one who's in that bondage, it's because of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The Bible says, whatever we loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. You pray specifically that those forces, those evil forces, would release them in the name of Jesus, and you plead the blood of Jesus over them so they will repent. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings, because see, that's what's going on. They're gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. That's what's going on. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now, listen. People living apart from God are described as being dead in transgressions. And I think that's pretty serious, don't you? They're dead. There is no ability for one who is dead to help himself. Help has to come from outside. There has to be a lifeguard. There has to be a life saver. And here it is. The beautiful thing about this, is that God is amazingly ready to come to us and offer all that He is and offer all that Jesus has done already to rescue us. Amen? Now let's look at the next few verses. Verse 4. But because of His great love, everybody say that with me. Because of His great love, let that sink into you. Don't just read over this and let it go over your head. Because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy. Because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order, everybody say in order. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Guys, listen to this. One day, He explained His mission on earth in the simplest of terms. He just said, here it is. This is why I'm on earth. And He made it real simple. He countrynized it. Right? Listen closely. This is what He said. He said that He had come to bring life to people who were dead. He came to bring life to people who were dead. He is the life giver. He is the supreme lifeguard. He is the King of lifeguards. Amen? In John 5, 24 and 25. John 5, 24 and 25, he told his followers, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Amen. Guys, for 25 years, almost 26 years, I have worked with broken and hopeless people. People at the what we would call, society would call, would be at the bottom of the barrel. And I've seen God rescue the worst of the worst. That would blow you away if you knew them here. And a year later, you would not even recognize that person. A miracle. I've witnessed hundreds of times Jesus doing what he does, rescuing the dead. I've seen Psalms 42 come to life right before my eyes. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Psalms 42. You see, guys, Jesus rescues the dead. Even those who haven't physically died yet. Can you relate to that? I hope you can. I can. I'm one of those. You are one of those. Now listen closely to this. You see, it is all about God's work. There's absolutely nothing that we could have done to rescue ourselves. Nothing. He came to us when we were lost and oblivious to our condition. Blind. Now think about it. In our rescue, if our rescue is completely a matter of God's work, is it possible that any of us can take credit for it? No. Is it possible for any of us to brag how much we did to become citizens of the kingdom of God? No. Let's look at the scripture again and let's look at what Paul, he answers that question in verse 8. He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Most of you have heard this before many, many, many times. Listen, this is great news, isn't it? This is great news. I'm glad that our rescue was completely God's work for us. You see, if our rescue, if any of it depended on us, then we are at our own mercy. And that's not good. We could become lost again as easily as a 3-year-old child can wander off from its mother. But, everybody say but? But, if it is God who has sought us out and rescued us, then we are completely in the grip of His grace. And praise the Lord for that. Let's go one step further. One step further. Why have we been called into the kingdom? Why? What is the reason that God brought us into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ? Why did God rescue us? Let's look at our last verse. It'll answer that question. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that. There's work for us to do. God has prepared these things, these works for us to do. Each one of us, each believer. We are vines connected to Christ, bearing fruit for our God, bringing Him glory and praise. God has rescued us, my friends. He's rescued us in Christ to glorify Him and to serve His kingdom. God loves us. God loves you. His grace is amazing. It's incredible. Amazing grace, right? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We've been rescued. We've been rescued from sin. We've been rescued from death. We've been rescued from the devil. And this is purely out of a divine, fatherly goodness. The mercy of God. You and I have been called. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Has the privilege to be people called by Christ's name. We've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. My friends, God has rescued us and He has made us Christ's workmanship so that we may honor Him through good works. So as I close, what is God calling you to do for His kingdom? What has the Holy Spirit been whispering in your ear, stirring up in your heart? Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class, to volunteer in the nursery, to help with the youth, to serve as our next deacon, serve in the Compassion House, a prison ministry, to give money. And more money to support things that are going on. Maybe it's to be in a prayer ministry, in a prayer closet for our church. Maybe it's to help out with Vacation Bible School. Maybe it's to go on short-term missions. Maybe it's to help in the women's ministry, the children's church. Maybe it's to go to seminary. Maybe it's to help with Celebrate Recovery in the community. Maybe it's to help start a home Bible study. Maybe an inner-city ministry. Maybe the GAs and RAs. Maybe the men's ministry. Maybe the music ministry. And I could list a lot more. What is God calling you to do? My prayer for you this morning, because you've been rescued, we've all been rescued. My prayer for you this morning is to be obedient to what God's put in your heart to do for the kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Father, for your word. Thank you for this message, Father, that I pray that it will go forth and would not return void, would accomplish what it's supposed to on the earth. You said your word would. Lord, help us all. Lord, we just pause for a minute and ask again that you'll bless this Vacation Bible School we have. But Lord, more important than anything is right now. Right now is all we have, all we've been promised. And Father, there's one here this morning that has never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that during the song of invitation that they will come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. We'll settle that today. They can be adopted into the family of God and give their life and to Jesus Christ. Father, maybe there's someone that'd like to join our church or maybe get baptized. That would be awesome. We can do that. We just pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.